Blog Talk Radio.
As we celebrate what would have been Dr. Martin Luther King's 85th birthday, here are my thoughts. Dr. King would marvel at the election and re-election of our first black president, but would cringe at the racial backlash President Obama has received since being in office. Dr. King would celebrate the 49th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, but would cringe at the new voter suppression laws around the country and the countless Americans and African Americans who are too lazy to vote. Dr. King would applaud the numerous business giants in the black community, but would cringe at the wealth gap between whites and people of color. Dr. King would shake the hand of every educational achiever, but would cringe at the achievement gap among urban youth in the U.S. and beyond. We'll explore these four areas of opportunity and concern for a King perspective, and we'll share 10 useful websites to help you grow and go in personal and professional success. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, and welcome to all my friends, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to the download. Well, daylight savings certainly is going to come in handy in the next couple of weeks because the days are definitely getting longer. I'm happy about that. We have mild weather here in Boston, and it's been a very busy week for me. I was in New Jersey this past weekend at the AME First District Women's Missionary Society Learning Experience, a wonderful women's conference attended by 800 women. I spoke three times, did three different workshops, two on my new book that I have that has come out on journaling, and the other on effective meetings. I'm going to talk more about journaling in the weeks to come and tell you how you can get this wonderful book and begin the journaling process yourself, even if you are already journaling or whether you would like to begin the process. We will tell you how to do that. We're going to have a special segment on that in the weeks to come. And then I attended the PCMA National Conference here in Boston. It's a group of 4,000 meeting planners, meeting professionals, suppliers, hoteliers in the hospitality industry, and then attended a very interesting workshop on China. So it's been a whirlwind, and other things taking place too. But today we're going to stop long enough and talk about a great man who lived and died for freedom and peace, Dr. Martin Luther King, from a slightly different perspective. I know that over the next couple of days and certainly throughout the weekend, we will have many, many tributes around the United States and beyond to celebrate his life. He died in April of 1968, but he was born on January 15th, 1929, which means had he lived, he would have been 85 years old. So the family and the country chooses to celebrate his birthday, not his death date. And as I grow older, I realize more and more that there are groups of people, whole groups of people who were born certainly after 1968, who only know about Dr. King from a historical perspective. They didn't see him on television live. They didn't go to any of his rallies. And they don't really get a sense of why he is so significant and why that era is so important. So from the point of view of voter education and economic development and racial equality and other aspects, we want to look at this great man, Dr. King, and get a sense of where we are and how far we have come, and certainly how far we have to go and grow in the weeks and the months and the years to come. So the first topic I wanted to talk about is this whole piece about racial equality and what it has meant to have a black president in the White House. We elected President Barack Obama in 2008 and then reelected him in 2012. He won by a significant margin, certainly in the 2012 election, and we don't have to rehash that. We know what happened with that. But what I'm interested in is, even to this day, the amount of critics who question his viability as a president. Does he legally have the right to be president? Those who are in the birthers group still, who emphatically believe that he is an illegitimate president from the point of view that he should not be president, that concerns me. The level of disrespect that has been heaped upon him, both from Congress and people outside of Congress, many of the right-wing groups who have been determined to destroy his presidency. We even had Mitch McConnell, senator from Kentucky, who said before the second election that his number one goal was to make sure that President Obama was a one-term president, and certainly did not happen, and actually threatened Mitch McConnell's Senate seat in terms of being reelected to the Senate. So just the amount of disrespect, and I've had this conversation with others, the amount of disrespect, the discrediting of him as a president, this goes beyond criticizing him. He's a president. He is our president of the United States. So any president is going to get criticized. I mean, he's not privy to not be criticized for actions he takes or does not take. That's not the question. When you sit in that seat, you got to take the heat. Understand that. I'm talking about what's gone beyond normal criticism from a political framework. I'm talking about the level of respect, the racial inequalities that even still exist in this country, and so many other aspects of inequality that you see heaped upon the President of the United States and certainly see across our organizations and in our country today. America's a very great country. I'm not going anywhere. Certainly my roots go back many, many years. But I do see a creeping level of concern from the point of view of racial inequality and how that translates to a level of disrespect that this country, that this president does not deserve. That's what I'm talking about. So, again, I'm a diversity person. I will always be a diversity person, a diversity professional, but I certainly do feel that we owe it to our president to show him more respect across the board than he and his family have received in certain circles. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has disrespected the president. I'm talking about those who have Congressman Joe Wilson, who yelled out, "You lie," during one of the congressional addresses. When President Obama was speaking, there have been other small things that have been done. They're small. They're not major, but they're small. And the suspicion of doubt in terms of his birthright, all those things, which are racially connected. That's just the long and short of it. So I'm hoping that they will subside in the years to come. President Obama has another 2 years to serve in office. He will be the next 2 years, 2014, actually two and a half years at this point. He will serve through the end of 2016. We know that there's going to be a presidential election coming up, but will be a very hot and heavy one that will probably start in earnest in 2015. But in the meantime, he is our president, and I think that he deserves the amount of respect presidents have received, and I think that the respect he has not received has been racially motivated. And Dr. King would cringe if he realized that all these years later, 40-plus years later, 50 years almost at this point, we're still dealing with the racial impact that this country has been struggling with since its birth and its inception. Number two deals with voters' rights, and these are sort of tied together. In 2010 in particular, we saw the emergence of laws, state laws, that were voted into office that suppressed people in various states from voting, either requiring extra identification or putting on different requirements where people had to prove who they are, where they're from, above the normal requirements of self-identification, that then impacted some people who did not have, let's say, a birth certificate because one was not issued when they were born 80 years ago or 95 years ago, being prevented from voting because of simple laws that were changed or expanded or modified and in some cases put in place during the midterm elections. 2010 midterm election saw these kinds of changes taking place. So you have states like Rhode Island and about 32 other states where these voter suppression laws have been quite significant. There is a young man who is now on the city council in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. I interviewed him a couple of months ago and had that interview on the air. And even in the state of North Carolina, there were polling places literally changed in midstream, which made it more difficult for people to go and vote in that state. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. So the micro inequities, these kind of laws that have taken place, and in some cases the elections have been held to pass these laws during the midterm where many people don't come out to vote or they're not really informed about the issues. Dr. King would be quite concerned about that. And coupled with that, I'm concerned about the number of people who don't vote. I don't understand it. It's just something I just don't understand. So whereas I'm concerned about voter suppression laws, I'm equally concerned about those who, for whatever reason, if they are able-bodied or have a relative to bring an absentee ballot to them if they are infirmed, for those kind of things not happening on behalf of the American population, I think is just dismaying and would be quite concerning to Dr. King. Here in Boston, we recently elected a new mayor. Mayor Martin Walsh is our new mayor in the city. And during the primary election, now, we had not had a mayoral campaign in earnest like this in 20 years because Mayor Thomas Menino decided to retire, and he had been in office for 20 years, a very, very good mayor. You would think that people would be excited not only about having new leadership coming in, but also about the opportunity of voting that new leadership in. During the primary election, only 31% of people came to the polls. Just staggeringly abysmal. During the general election, it got a little bit better, went to 40% who went to vote in the polls. So, again, here you have voter apathy in place during a time when the leadership change is going to bring many, many new opportunities and new changes because of new leadership. But when the people don't go to the polls, then it remains heretofore that only a small group of people are actually electing our leaders. Now, Boston is not the only city where this happens. There are cities across the country where the voter turnout is just not good at all. So this is an American problem that we have that if we're not careful, it's going to be very impactful on a lot of the laws and the leadership that we're going to have take place. And that just counters the whole 1965 Voter Rights Act that Dr. King and so many others fought so hard for. The next thing he would be very concerned about, I believe, would be the economic gap, the wealth gap, particularly in the black community. We have giants. We have Oprah Winfrey's, Jay-Z, Beyonce, entertainers. You have large companies, black enterprise. The list goes on in the black community in terms of the number of strident achievements that have been made in terms of business. No question about that. I'm a happy business owner for 27 years. But then when I look at the wealth gap between the African-American community and the white community, it is staggeringly high. When you look at it in terms of the Hispanic community and the white community, staggeringly high. Not so much so in the Asian community, and we'll probably have a conversation and a show on that going forward. But in the black and the Latino community, economic development still is a major factor when it comes to job creation, wealth creation, other ways where people can start in business and stay in business. I would strongly encourage you to listen to my radio show last week when I interviewed Lori Davis, all we talked about were the financial game plans that you need to follow for 2014. It's a very good show, and it sort of corroborates and aligns itself with what I'm talking about today in terms of wealth creation to eradicate this wealth gap that we have in this country. And fourthly, I think Dr. King would definitely shake his hand to every educational achiever, but he would be just so sad with the educational gaps that we have in this country, in urban communities, the economic gap in terms of test scores. We see it with the test scores. We certainly see it with young people whose reading comprehension isn't what it should be. We see it certainly with the number of young people who may or may not have smartphones. Many young people across the spectrum, regardless of what their income level is, they have smartphones. But when it comes to other devices like laptops and iPads and other ways where education is now administered using these kind of devices, that's where you see the gaps that have come in. So when it comes to the digitizing of education, when it comes to textbooks or other resources and the gaps that we have between cities and urban areas, it's pretty significant. So Dr. King, hats off to you and all that you did during your era. Now we have to pick up the ball and run with it in 2014 so that we can get rid of the racial tension that takes place and the disrespect that takes place in our country. We have to get rid of the apathy in terms of voting and repeal these voter suppression laws that are allowing a small number of people to rule over the larger majority of people in our country and preventing those who want to go to vote from voting in certain states. We want to also deal with economic development in the black and brown community so that we can increase and enhance it so that it will show a smaller gap and ultimately no gap at all between the white community and the black community and the Latino community. And fourth, we want to deal with the educational opportunities and minimize the challenges and the gaps that we see, the achievement gap in particular, and as it relates to boys and how that gap can be very significantly impacting their career choices and their futures going forward. These four areas, education, economic development, voting rights, and racial equality are the four areas that I think would pique the curiosity of a Dr. King today and causes us to really want to move forward and work on these very areas that will make our country grow and go much farther in the future. Now, I want to shift gears now and talk about 10 useful websites that I find very helpful in the work that I do, and I think that you'll find them helpful as well. I'm going to move through it very quickly. You can go to this blog today, the blog on my website today. That is www.tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com. Go to that website, go to the blog for today on January 16th, and this list of all these websites are all there. Number one is BBC.com. BBC.com is the website for the British Broadcasting Company. That is the main news organization that is part of the British government. They probably have one of the most extensive news organizations in the world. When it comes to world news, I skip U.S. news. I'm a proud American, but I go to BBC first when they're talking about news related to other countries. They do a superior job. They have the people, they have the coverage, and it's coverage from the perspective that I think provides lots of value, not only to Americans, but obviously those in other parts of the world, including those in Great Britain. So BBC.com is number one for me. Number two is Census, and I should also say with BBC.com, not only do they cover the news, but if you want to learn a language, you can literally go to BBC.com and just do a search for whatever language you want to learn. Maybe you want to learn Mandarin or you want to learn French or Italian or one of the other languages, they actually have learning programs where you can learn other languages for free, completely free of charge, and I think that's a really good deal. They also have great interviews that are archived. They have video programs as well. So just a very extensive news organization, but also a great way to learn. That's bbc.com. Number two is census.gov, coming back here to the United States. Census.gov, part of the United States Census Bureau. A lot of our data is driven from the Census Bureau documentation. They have a running clock on their home page. It used to be very prominent, but now sort of hidden down at the bottom of the page. But if you want to know the estimated count of Americans and the estimated count of those in the world, you can go to that website on the page and find it out and quiz your friends. A lot of people don't even realize how many people are in the world, way over 7 million, billion at this point, and in the United States, way over 300 million people. So census.gov, and then there's tons of other information at census.gov that I would encourage you to review and pursue. Number three is a website related to the religions of the world, and that's religioustolerance.org, religioustolerance.org. Based in Canada, they represent just information packaged together by a group of consulting volunteers proselytizing or saying that one religious group is better than the other. They're just giving information, basic information about the world religions, what they are, how they started, how many people are estimated to be a part of it. It's an excellent website. Number four is StoryCorps.org. That's story and then core spelled CORPS.org. This organization is connected to the Smithsonian, and they literally have been sending trucks around the United States capturing stories of people, everyday stories, families, the joys and sorrows of families, people and their relationships, people and their jobs, or world issues that they have an opinion about. The beauty about this website is that you can go there and learn how to tell stories and capture information about stories, and you can use this as you share and deal with stories of your friends and family. It's a wonderful website, and again, all news organizations are doing what they're basically doing are telling stories. The stories are very powerful, and you can learn how to tell your own story or the stories of others through StoryCorps.org. Number five is WhiteHouse.gov. That is the official White House website here in the United States. They have tons of information there as well about what's going on with President Obama and the White House, and also video clips and pictures that you can use either on your website or use in your documentation, and you don't necessarily have to get permission. So if you want an official picture of President Obama or Mrs. Obama or the children or the Vice President Biden or his wife or whatever, or all the travels that they are going through, you can go to that website, you can download it, give them credit, obviously, and you don't have to worry about royalties or payments or any of that stuff, because that's an official public website, and the information can be used. The same thing about the videos that they have there and the audio clips. They can be used without having to worry about getting permission, because that's part of our federal government, and that's how your tax dollars are spent archiving that information. Number six is a really good website, lynda.com. That's L-Y-N-D-A, L-Y-N-D-A. They have thousands of instructional videos that come in 3 to 5 minute clips or maybe a little bit longer to teach you how to use your computer, how to use software package programs, how to use your camera, how to use your video, how to use the smartphone that I'm talking on. You can learn how to use many of the technical devices, software programs from these instructional videos on lynda.com. I would highly recommend that you go there, check it out. You can view many of them for free, the first couple, let's say they have a program on Photoshop, and the program has 20 video instructional videos in this particular program. You can listen to probably three or four of them for free, get a sense of the instructor, see if you're learning something, and then you can sign up to become a member. Membership is only $25 a month, or you can pay, I think it's $250 a year. But the information you get is just amazingly powerful and very valuable. I love that website, lynda.com. Next website is un.org. That is for the United Nations, and you can literally sit in front of your smartphone or your laptop and find out about world events by going to un.org. You can learn about the various secretariats, what's taking place, what meetings are taking place, whether the General Assembly is meeting, what are the prominent issues related to the countries of the world. Remember, the United Nations is a member organization. Most of the countries of the world belong to the United Nations. So I encourage you to go there, and you can go there for free and walk around and learn an awful lot. But if you can't get there yet, I would highly encourage you to go to un.org. And many of these websites I have listed in my book, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. So you can go to my website again and get the book, then buy the book, or you certainly can go and learn more about it. But the websites are captured in many parts of my book, and it is captured in today's blog. But the UN.org is a great website. Next one is Wikipedia.org, Wikipedia. I now go there first. When I want to find out about something, it's fairly reliable. I'd say probably 80 to 90% of the information in Wikipedia is correct or accurate. You can check it against other websites, but it has cleaned itself up quite a bit. It is contributed by many people who clean things and edit things on the various pages of the website. It's just a great source to have. So Wikipedia, and then you can dig down and find out biographical information about people that you're interested in. Next one, number nine, is Coursera. That's C-O-U-R-S-E-R-A. It's like course with R-A after it, .org, Coursera.org. I may be mispronouncing that. It's the wave of new websites that give free instructional information, and it's literally free, where you can go and take a course for free. Now, I know MIT does this. I know that Khan Academy does this, K-A-H-N does this, but I'm sort of focusing on Coursera because they have a wide range of topics that you can learn anything with a lot of these new websites where you can take courses for free. So Coursera is one that I'm recommending today. And then number 10 is my own website, mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com. That is for the Multicultural Symposium Series. And on that website, we have a growing amount of information that we are archiving there. My goal is to ultimately have information about all of the almost 200 countries in the world. Other information related to culture, multicultural issues are all being archived there, and you can become a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series and listen to our archive series. You can participate live with our archives, or you can go online and listen to them at your leisure 24/7. So that's my top 10 list for today in terms of useful websites. I hope this has been of value to you. Learning is not out for any of us. I think Dr. King would want us to learn, would become lifelong learners. He was a very learned man. He had a PhD. He wrote books. He was an eloquent writer, whether he was writing in the Birmingham jail or whether he was out to congregations across this country. Learning and information and knowledge is very, very powerful. So every now and then we're going to give you other websites that we recommend so that you can continue your learning process and make Dr. King proud of what you're doing. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. We'll chat in and check in with you next week. Have a great week or weekend. We'll see you soon.